Hi, everybody, and welcome to Life in the Bear Cave with Andy Bundy, podcast about the Twitch community for Andy Bundy and his Twitch streams. Today, I have with me, Trident Tail. Trident Tail, how are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. Relatively good.
Relatively good.
Yeah.
I understand that. All right. So, Trident is a speedrunner. He's a friend of mine in the Diddy Kong Racing community. Trident, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
A little bit about me.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge music nerd. I have played in numerous bands in the past 15 years. I collect a lot of music. I listen to music pretty much like all the time. Like you said, I also speedrun old Nintendo games, and I stream occasionally when I'm not busy with school. And yeah, that's about it. Into a lot of different things. I'm kind of like a jack of all trades kind of guy, but a master of none. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I get it.
So yeah.
And you've speedrun a lot more than just old Nintendo games, right?
Primarily it's old Nintendo games, but I have speedrun other stuff. Like the Nintendo 64 era stuff, so a little bit of Super Nintendo, like that's my jam. I love those games and I will continue to play and replay those games until either I die or like my hands become crippled, whichever comes first.
And for those of you who might not know, Trident actually was selected to be in a three-way all-trophy races race at GDQ 2022. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, as far as like speedrunning events go, Games Done Quick is like one of the premier events. It's, has a huge viewership, raises a lot of money for charity. That's kind of like a dream opportunity for speedrunners and people in that community. So yeah, it's pretty exciting that I'll be able to participate in my first GDQ, or running in my first GDQ. I did participate as a commentator last year, but this will be the first time I'm actually playing in one. So that'll be really exciting.
And you are in it with, if I remember right, Obio SRL,
yeah.
And
yep.
Sweener Dog.
That's right. So Sweener Dog is the current world record holder. He has the fastest time in the category that we're racing. Amazing guy. He's from, I believe he's from, it's like the Northwest United States.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Wisconsin. I believe he's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I can't remember. Weird thing about the internet.
But we kind of like came up in the community at the same time, so like we have a very strong kind of friendship, even though we've never met in real life. It's our interactions have purely been online, but we've definitely like pushed each other like a lot, so we have a pretty strong bond. And then Obio, fellow Canadian, French Canadian, and just like one of the greatest to ever play Diddy Kong Racing. So yeah, it's gonna be exciting.
Awesome. Well, Pavlin in the chat actually had a question for you. You had mentioned that you learned something regarding music. What kind of lessons have you learned in being a musician?
What kind of lessons have I learned being a musician?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I
said that right, Pavlin.
Kind of like a harsh truth is I don't know. Do I want to go there? I don't know. One of the biggest lessons I learned is that touring is hard.
That is a fair.
Playing music on the road is hard.
Mm-hmm. No, I get. I mean, I've not done touring myself, but just seeing some of the tours that have come through, because I do tech for a lot of people, I can see where the stress would come in for that.
Yeah.
So we've talked about what instruments do you play?
What instruments do I play?
Mm-hmm.
In the band that I play in currently, I play the bass guitar. In all my previous bands, I've played drums. Drums is probably like the instrument I'm most proficient in. But a little bit of keyboard, a little bit of guitar, a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. All right. How long have you been speedrunning? Because I know you'd mentioned you and Sweener have kind of come up. How long has that been? Would you say approximately?
I started speedrunning in 2015. I started with a game called World Tour, which is kind of like a Tony Hawk knockoff. I didn't really know how to get started into speedrunning. I just knew that I really wanted to try it. And so playing some of these other games that like a lot of people like already played seemed really daunting. So I just tried playing something that nobody played. So World Tour was like the first game, and then got a little bit into Pokemon Red. Those were like the first two games that I really started playing and speedrunning.
Awesome. And so being a speedrunner for 6 years now, what has been your greatest challenge in being a speedrunner?
Greatest challenge being a speedrunner? Right now it's finding the time. Right now it's finding the time, because I have been speedrunning Diddy Kong Racing primarily for so long now that any sort of improvement requires even more practice, even more dedication to the game. And that's just, I don't have time or the energy for that right now. So I'm kind of like in this weird state of limbo where I want to continue to progress. But I keep taking these breaks in between. So, and that's not really helping. You got to be like consistently playing like every day pretty much, mm-hmm. to reach those new places. But yeah, that's really the hard one. Other than that though, speedrunning has always been kind of, I don't want to say like a passive thing, but I never really took it too seriously. Like I knew that I had an aptitude for playing Diddy Kong Racing, and so I just kind of like focused on that, but it was never, I always played it because I wanted to play it and not because I felt like I had to or that I like desperately needed to improve. I just improved because I loved the game so much and I just wanted to continue playing it. So yeah, like I don't know, just I never really had like a hard time doing it because it was just for the love.
That's a fair assessment. As you know, I've done a little bit of the speedrunning stuff myself. Probably yes. I drop off a lot more than you guys, so I 100% get it. Okay, so with Diddy Kong Racing being your primary game, do you have a favorite track and a least favorite track?
Oh. I feel like I don't think I could narrow it down to one. Mm-hmm. And if you asked me tomorrow, I'd probably have a different answer for you as far as, like, favorite tracks go. But off the top of my head, the best ones in my opinion are Jungle Falls, because it is super like flowy. Like when you see races, when you see that race at a very high level, it's like it just goes. It just flows so well. You never feel like there's like a moment of like downtime. It's like super fast, always like always boosting, and it's just like super satisfying. So like, I think that one's one of my favorites, like for sure. Other great ones, like I really like Frosty Village right now. Frosty Village is a lot of fun. The tracks that I'm the best at are typically the plain ones where you can like use a glitch to get out of bounds, and you can like fly out of bounds in like really optimal like paths. Excuse me. For some reason, I seem to be really good at those. And the worst ones, there's two for sure that I can tell you are really bad, and that's Treasure Caves and Haunted Woods. I hate those two tracks the most because at the core, they're like very easy, very quick tracks, but they have like one section in them that is like very inconsistent to like pull off fast, and when you don't get it, you just like, it's so slow, you lose so much time, and I feel like no matter how much I practice, I still like get tripped up by those tracks. So those two are definitely the worst, but as for the rest, like you could ask me like any day and my answer would probably change.
So basically Hover Challenge and Tricky too, right?
I mean, I don't really consider tricky never bothered me as much. For those that don't know, there's a trick in the game in the adventure mode. Tricky, the Triceratops, the very first boss in the game. There's like a glitch that you can perform that like ends the race in 13 seconds. It's kind of freaky if you've never seen it before. But it essentially has like a 50-50 chance of working. And so ever since that trick was found, it's become a pretty heavy reset point. You can lose a lot of time to that. So a lot of people say like Tricky sucks, but honestly, Tricky never bothered me that much. That trick never bothered me that much. Again, it's like, for, I don't know. I just like, I never let those things like get to me.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, I know that's...
And Hover Challenge is great. Hover Challenge is great, too. We don't have to get into why people hate Hover Challenge, but Hover Challenge is actually great. I'm not one of those people that's like, Hover Challenge is horrible.
I understand.
Because it's good.
Yes, correct. It's good. Patty says correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's
of course.
It's so interesting as being a casual. I consider myself a casual speedrunner. I'm not really competitive at all. And just seeing how different you compared to Patty, compared to Giz, compared to Obio, a bunch of the speedrunners in the community, how different you guys approach the game. Like, while there's that overarching, we kind of follow the same ideas, you guys all approach it differently. And I think that's amazing that you guys still have all those really high times so close to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I never really thought about it. Like, I don't know if, I don't think DKR is one of those games where, like, you can see a lot of differences in the way, people play. So I don't know. Is that something that you see? Like, if you were to like look at me playing
this
compared to like Obio playing, would you see like?
Well, for that has to do with the music on versus music off thing. That's one big thing for you in Obio specifically.
Yeah.
But then,
but I mean, and actually, the way not like the way we play, but like. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you put Obio and I playing Jungle Falls side by side, do you think you would, like, see some sort of, like, characteristic that... I don't know if I would see that. I don't know if I would see some sort of characteristic
I guess that. In that aspect, no. I was talking more of like talking your opinions of the games or your overall how you approach the game in that perspective and the emotional capacity of it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think there's some largely held beliefs in the DKR community, but there's always that one person that like goes against the grain. Like, I think there's a large consensus that like Dark Moon Caverns is a really awful track, and like Dark Moon Caverns. And Obaya will ban you in his chat if you say that.
Well, okay, noted. I will try not. Well, if I want to get banned, that's what I will say. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Dark Moon Caverns, so I don't know what people are talking about. But yeah, apparently a lot of people really hate that track.
Patty says he doesn't think that there's a single track that no one likes, which I would agree on.
I don't think there is a single track that no one likes. I mean, okay, so I know I tell you like Treasure Caves and Haunted Woods are garbage tracks, but we're talking about Diddy Kong Racing here, which is like one of the best kart racing games of all time, if not one of the best games overall.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the level design is so far above all the other, you know, kart racing levels, in my opinion. So when I say I hate those tracks, I mean like they're my least favorite in the game, but like still so amazing as far as like
kind of the lowest tracks go. Lowest on your ranking, but you still like them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Still amazing.
Okay. So there is a rumor going around online that with the Nintendo 64 online that Diddy Kong Racing could potentially come to Switch. If it does, will you move to the Switch and play it on there?
I don't know about a move to the Switch. I would definitely be curious to play it on the Switch. There's been some talks about what could possibly happen. You know what? We've been very lucky in the DKR community. Like, you look at a game like Super Mario 64. There's like so many versions. There's like N64, mm-hmm. and we're not even talking about like all the regional versions as well. But like, you've got that, you've got Wii VC, you've got Wii U VC, you've got this new version that was released on Super Mario All-Stars, I think it's called.
The 3D All-Stars, yeah.
The 3D All-Stars. And you've also got Emulator. So, I mean, DKR is available on Emulator. We don't allow it for reasons.
For leaderboards.
For leaderboard submission, right. But... you know, there's always, you always got to be thinking like, what if there's like another official release of the game? Like, what is that going to do? So yeah, it'll be interesting. If it does come to Switch, I'm definitely going to give it a try. I'd be really interested to see what that's like. And so the reason why it's so interesting is because, the N64 version is heavily bogged down by lag. There's like lots of the frame rate is quite variable. It hovers typically around 20 frames a second, but it can go as low as 12 and as high as 30. And so what makes why that's important is because the frame rate often has a lot to do with how you can maintain speed in the game. And so that's why Emulator is like so crazy, because Emulator runs at, I'm guessing, 30 frames, like a solid 30 frames. And so the game just runs so much faster. So that's why we have to ban it. But like, theoretically, let's say it gets re-released on Switch and we don't have all those like lag issues and we have like a solid frame rate for a change. Like, what's that going to do? Like, what kind of crazy stuff? You already know we can do crazy stuff in DKR. So, like, what can we do when the lag is no longer an issue?
Right.
It's going to be crazy. And then we have to think about, like, what types of versions are going to be available, because we run the Japanese version because it's the earliest version that was released and it got, you know, the most kind of glitches that we can exploit in the run. So will the Japanese version be available on Switch? How easy and accessible will that be to get that going? And if not, if we only have access to the most recent North American version, you know, is the fact that, you know, there's a glitch that we can't perform in that game going to be overshadowed by any benefits that there are to not having lag? Like, it's super interesting. At least I don't know if anybody's interested about DKR speedruns in the chat, but
I'm kind of interested.
I'm like, yeah, it's going to be kind of pandemonium if it does get a Switch Online release. It's going to be crazy.
It's so funny because with Diddy Kong Racing specifically, there was Diddy Kong Racing on the Nintendo 64. And then, like, some people think that there is a Diddy Kong Racing DS. There's a very, very small speedrunning community for that.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Then the Switch Online, then that's only three compared to, yeah, as you said, with the Super Mario 64 having not only... There's like three different versions on N64 and then each platform. And then there's actually two on Switch now with the 64 online is a different version than the 3D All-Stars.
Right, right. I totally forgot. Yeah, oh my God. How many versions of SM64 are there? Like,
there probably will be more, I have to guess. DKR Patty says he's opposed to DKR, but only in his username.
No. Shoutouts to Patty.
Shoutouts to Patty.
DKR legend.
Yeah. It's been interesting watching speed, because as I said, I've done a little bit and I've learned a lot just playing the game myself, and it's been really cool getting into the community, because I don't know about you, but I would say that one of the more wholesome communities is Diddy Kong Racing, just in the people, how willing even the top runners are willing to teach newcomers, or having people come together for a community event. I enjoy that. And I'm not sure if you follow that sentiment or not, but I do think that as a whole, the Diddy Kong Racing community is probably one of the better ones that I've seen on Twitch, or like just on the internet in general.
Sure, I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not a part of... It's hard to say because there's so many speedrunning kind of factions out there. You know, each game has their own community. But I think DKR is quite unique in that DKR is like a very popular game, but the speedrunning community is relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, we've never had a problem with, like, toxicity. We've had like a little bit lately because our community has kind of expanded a little bit, but it's never been like really bad, no controversy. And like you said, everybody's just like super helpful. Like, if you fire up DKR right now, Giz will probably be in your chat. Giz is like in every DKR stream pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like always been like this huge ambassador for speedruns of the game.
So that's how I got in it.
yeah. And you know, my first DKR streams where I was just doing it for fun, you know, he was there, and then got roped into doing like weekly races, even though I was garbage at the game at that time. And I was playing against, you know, some of the more dedicated runners in that time period, but it was an opportunity for me to kind of hang out, chat, get to know the other people in the community, and then that's kind of how I got roped in. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really nice community and very helpful.
Patty in the chat says, I cannot let it remain unmentioned that Trident has been one of the most dedicated persons I have seen around my years in the DKR landscape. So I just thought I'd throw that out there in case you weren't reading chat, or if you're listening to this on the audio version.
not so much lately, because school has been taking up a lot of my time, but I have, you know, between the past two summers where I pretty much streamed every day for like 5 hours a day playing pretty much just DKR. You know, I definitely was dedicated in that respect, and I put, you know, a bit of time into creating resources like guides and videos, and I still want to do more videos, but it, man, creating videos takes so much time.
Don't you know it? Yeah.
Like, I would, I had a video that I wanted to do. I recorded all the footage for it, and then it came down to editing it, and I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, and so it just sat. I still have the footage somewhere, and well, maybe if, one day I'll finish it. But
I was about to say, if you ever need editing stuff, message me. We can do something like that. That's something that I do.
Oh, another thing. Another thing. So one of the cool things that I did that I'm still very proud of is I did a 100% like segmented run. So if you're not familiar with segmented runs, it's where you like you record a segment at a time, like try to do it as best as you can, and then you stitch them all together and you like create like this playthrough. It's not a task because I actually played the game myself. So I'm not like I'm not organizing all these inputs to create this like perfect playthrough, but I took like all my best segments over the course of like I grinded for like 2 months, I played every day for like 5 hours just trying to get like the best segments that I could. I stitched them all together, and so yeah, there's a playthrough of that on the YouTube somewhere. So if you're interested in what that looks like at all, then I would recommend going to watch that because it's pretty crazy.
And I'll go find it. And if you're watching on the podcast, I will have it in the show notes. So you can click that and watch it later.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things I'm like most proud of.
I've
been working on version 2 lately. Not lately, but a little bit here and there. And I've enlisted some friends to help because while I was making that project, I definitely realized that there was some weak points. So I made sure to get the help from a few people this time. So maybe sometime soon, maybe next year, we'll get a second version out. Oh. But yeah.
Oh, okay. So then we're talking about being a creator, doing these things like speedrunning, and then we're moving, talking about editing and such. As someone who creates digital content, are there any specific goals that you have currently for here or like recent or like sometime in the future?
It's hard to say right now because I'm very much focused on other things right now, life things. Mm-hmm. I'm in school right now. I'm studying to get my bachelor's of education. So that is taking up a lot of my time. And as far as like content goals, like I've set goals for myself. But I have a hard time like kind of sticking with those goals. Like being a content creator is really hard. Like I'm sure you kind of know the pitfalls. The thing about content creation is you just got to be consistent, like constantly putting up content every day. Well, not necessarily every day, but have some sort of like consistent schedule. And that was just like something that I could never do. Like I very much like don't live by schedules. I very much like live day by day. I don't really do schedules because I don't know, even like streaming schedules, I've been like really hard to like stick with streaming schedules because like I always worry, like, you know, well, I want to stream right now, you know, and it's like not my typical streaming time, and it's like, but I want to stream now, or when I get to my regularly scheduled streaming time and I'm like, I don't really want to stream right now. Like So, and then I don't want to force a stream, because like the one of the worst things you can do is like stream when you're not feeling it, because then you're not entertaining. Mm-hmm. And like nobody wants to watch that. Nobody wants to watch me like cry and moan and rage when I am playing a game that I don't really want to play in that moment.
I can relate to that.
So then again though, like it all just comes back to like you know, what am I doing it for? You know? So I've been very, very lucky with the past two summers when I did have like a regular streaming schedule. I had a lot of support from my viewers, and that was amazing. Like I still can't believe, you know, the amount of support that I got over those two summers. But other than that, like I just try to just stream because it just makes me happy. So whenever I feel like streaming is when I do it.
That's awesome.
I feel like we got off track. What was the question again?
It was asking if you had any goals, but it kind of answered the question there a little bit.
Right now, no goals. Maybe in the future, I would like to go for Twitch partner. I've gotten close, sort of. I feel like there's a possibility there, but again, that requires me to, you know, put up a streaming schedule, stick by it. I'd have to have the time to do it. And theoretically, you know, if I graduate from my bachelor's of education program, I'll be, you know, off to a new career. So I might not have time for that anyway, but yeah, we'll see.
And then Pavlin in the chat, if you're comfortable with asking, what did you learn in school? You mentioned going to the bachelor's of education.
Yeah, so I'm doing my bachelor's of education right now, teacher's college, some people say. Mm-hmm. So studying to become a teacher. Before that, I studied math and political science. And before that, I studied audio engineering.
There you go.
And so, yeah.
There you go. So when you're not streaming or speed running or in school, what do you enjoy doing as hobbies, kind of? Do you have any thing that you do?
Right now, it's mostly just been listening to music and journaling.
And
go ahead.
I was about to say, speaking of the journaling, you do manage your own blog. It's called You Can Be My Wave, correct?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Kind of answer the question a little bit?
Sure. So I did start a blog this past summer, and it just like the way it kind of came about was I've always been like really passionate about music, and I always had like all these opinions about, you know, certain albums. And I also was in the process of like kind of revisiting some of the stuff in my library that I haven't maybe listened to in a long time, or stuff that I maybe bought years ago and never even listened to. And so it was just kind of like a way for me to go through some of that stuff, figure out what was good, figure out the stuff that I actually liked, what I could maybe like get rid of. And so it just kind of started as like a Google Doc sort of thing, just like for my own personal, just for like my own personal use. And then I don't know how I think I might have stumbled on like a review of my band's album on some website, but it was like a very small, like kind of independent kind of music journal thing. And I was like, this is really cool. This is something that I could do. So then I just tried to recreate that. First it was like trying to like recreate it on like some of those, like I think I first tried it on like Wix Then I tried WordPress, and like it didn't really work out the way I wanted it to. So I ended up like actually learning how to code, and I built it myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I've just been like super into that like since the summer. And that's pretty much like my escape whenever I need to, you know, not focus about school or other things. I just listen to music all the time, and I'm constantly trying to like reflect and put my opinions into finely crafted words. And yeah, so it's been nice. Been going through my, you know, the stuff in my library, going through the stuff in my Apple Music library, trying to review new stuff as it comes out. And so yeah, it's just like, it's just a place where I get to just dump all my ideas on albums past and present. It's cool.
Okay, and as a musician and listening to these, is there a specific type of genre that you mainly listen to, or is this more of a variety?
No, there's a lot of variety. And I don't even think the journal right now reflects the span of music that I really enjoy. But yeah, like I listen to just about everything. Not really like a country fan. Maybe like some old country, like some Dolly Parton and some Johnny Cash, maybe. Some mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I'm not really into like more modern pop country. So there's definitely a blind spot there. But pretty much everything else is fair game. Like even a little bit of gospel. I don't mind a little bit of gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. The last summer I had to help video production for a local country concert, and it was a good mix, mostly pop country, and I can understand why you would tend to avoid it.
Not really in my bag.
It's an acquired taste and not mine. Okay, so we've talked about speedrunning, we've talked about your musicianship and the blog that you run. One of the things that I, while you were doing a lot of your Diddy Kong Racing stuff, Among Us came out, and it was kind of a big thing for your community specifically. We had like daily games going on.
We played every day.
Can you talk to me a little bit about Among Us and how that affected your community a little bit?
I honestly don't even know. I just like, I think I said one day in my Discord, let's say I had like maybe 40 people in my Discord or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, maybe. I don't even know. Not that many. And then Among Us came out. Actually, it's already been out. Like, Among Us was out for a long time before the big boom happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started seeing it everywhere, and I was like, this game looks like so much fun. I love social deception games. I have to get into this. So I put a feeler out in my Discord, like, who wants to play? A lot of DKR people tagged along. But then what happened was, like, I guess they started inviting their friends, and then those people started inviting their friends. And like, before you know it, I have like 100 people in my Discord, and we're just like all there to play Among Us. And yeah, we just played like every day.
Yeah.
And those were some of the best times last year.
I can agree.
Like, man.
Yeah. And then this is November 12th. It was earlier this week, I think, Among Us came up with a big update to mm-hmm. add things such as roles. And I think they added some like store things. I know you had mentioned you had played a couple games with that. I haven't yet. Can you tell me a little bit about what they've added and stuff like that?
Sure. I don't know the full extent of what they added. But Trident Best Among Us lobby, it's true. We have such a sick lobby. Like, Okay, just off track for a second. Like, honestly, the group that we play with, and you've been a part of our groups as well, whenever you can, but like, we have such a good group. Like, that game, honestly, Among Us is only as fun as like the group that you play it with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could have like the worst, you could have like the worst group and it would not be a very fun game. And I've seen groups that are like super hardcore, super antagonistic towards each other. And it's like, it can get pretty toxic. But I feel like we don't have that in our group. Like, we have this like very, we fit so closely in the center between like try hard and like casual. So like, we try hard, we play the game really hard, we want to figure out who it is, and we like, we want to win, but we're also not like super antagonistic and like toxic towards each other for the most part. There's been like maybe a few like outbursts, but
right
for the most part, like, people cool down, we say, we apologize, and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we never really teetered into that like super like toxic space. So like, we have the best group. I don't care what anybody says, we have the best freaking group.
Oh, I agree with that 100%.
Anyways, so yeah, the new update is actually kind of exciting, because they included the big thing that they included was they included these roles that you could incorporate into the game that kind of change up the strategy a little bit. And like, I'm surprised it took them this long. So how this came about was like, people were modding the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were adding all these different roles. So like, you could have roles like lovers, where two of the players, it could be crewmate or the imposter. They're considered lovers, which means that if one of the lovers dies, the other one automatically dies as well. And if the other side of that coin is that if the two lovers make it to the final three, those two automatically win. And that would override any other win condition. So like, let's say, that one of the lovers was a crewmate and the other lover was a imposter, then they could make it to the final three and the lovers would override the crewmate or the imposter win. So there's stuff like that. That's really cool. One of the fun ones was Jester, where the whole point was, if you were the Jester, you wanted to get voted out.
Yep.
So you had people that were like trying to intentionally do shady stuff,
yep,
to like try and get kicked out so that they would win. So I could go on and on about all the different types of roles, because like, people just kept like expanding the mod into, mm-hmm, more and more like types of games. And I'm surprised it took them this long to like catch up, but they finally released an update that incorporated some of these roles. So you've got the engineer, who, from my understanding, they can use the vents. So like, the vents in the game were only to be used by the imposters, but the engineers can now vent as well. So that's kind of interesting, because you know, a person might vent right in front of you, and usually you'd be like, that's an imposter, but like, now you don't know. And the imposters can kind of use that to their advantage too. Like, if they get caught venting, they can just be like, oh, I'm an engineer or something. Now, in the only thing I'm not sure about is, in the mods, the engineer was able to fix a sabotage from anywhere on the map once per game. I'm not sure if they kept that in this version. Do you know?
I'm not 100% sure. I have a link to the Among Us update. I can kind of look and see.
All right. Well, while you look that up, I can talk about, I guess, what's the other one? The scientist. The scientist can check vitals at any point on the map. And the thing about that, though, is that they can't just hold vitals up on their screen for forever. because apparently there's like a battery or something, and the only way to recharge the battery is if they actually go and do tasks. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, according to the Inner Sloth website, the scientist access vials at any time, complete tests to recharge your battery. Engineer can just use the vents. It says nothing about the sabotages. And then the Guardian Angel can cast a protection shield around the remaining crewmates. And then for an imposter, you can also be a shapeshifter, where you can disguise yourself by morphing into another crewmate.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. The Guardian Angel thing, that came up in one of our recent games. Our crew kind of got together randomly to play a few games, which was pretty awesome. And the Guardian Angel really came into play in one of those. It was like almost like too OP, kind of. But essentially what they can do is the first person that dies by the imposters, they have a chance of becoming the Guardian Angel. And what they can do is they can follow the imposters around, and when they think that they're going to kill someone, they can temporarily shield that person from being killed.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's very, very short, though. I think it's like 5 seconds. So there was a modded role called the Medic, where you could shield a player indefinitely from being killed. And the only way that you could kill them is if someone kills the Medic, then that shield wears off. That's not like this. Guardian Angel can only protect someone for like 5 seconds or something like that. So
interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was, I know you had a lot of growth in your Discord, as you mentioned, because of Among Us, and it was very interesting just being a part of that community and doing that. Pavlin and chat.
I made friends for life.
Yeah, it was awesome
playing that game.
Pavlin, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I'm not sure people like understand to the extent that like they've contributed to like some of the best times of my life, but like they really did. So I don't know. Maybe I should go tell them.
Awesome.
You know, just how like awesome they are and how much I appreciate them and how much fun I had playing with them.
Yes, that was I can agree with that wholeheartedly, because I think most of the games I played were with you when we did that, or with that community.
Yeah.
So kind of switching gears. First of all, Tarzan came in and says hello.
What's up, Tarzan?
Then
Tarzan is a part of that Among Us group, and he's also an up and coming DQR speedrunner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had some good chats. But Pavlin in chat was asking, does Trident play RPGs?
I don't play RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you count Pokemon as an RPG? I feel like that would be a normie thing. Like if someone was like, do you play RPGs? I'd be like, yeah, I play Pokemon. I feel like I'd be called a normie.
Well, you're probably about the same as me then, because I don't really play either except for Pokemon, probably.
Well, let's ask Pavlin.
What do you think,
if I played just Pokemon games, and I was like, yeah, I play RPGs, would you call me a normie?
He's talking about getting interest in Kena: Bridge of Spirits, which is a while we were talking about Among Us, I looked it up. That's a game that's coming out here soon. I wasn't familiar with it. Looks pretty, I can tell you that much.
I like Super Mario RPG.
Ooh, Super Mario RPG. Yeah, yeah, no.
I love Super Mario RPG. But like that's really like the only true blue RPG that I enjoy. Yeah.
What was it? Last year? No, it was 2 years ago at this point. I went through, while I was streaming during the day before I got the job that I'm at now, we went through Chrono Trigger and Super Mario RPG on stream, because I don't have the attention span to do some of those, like, the long puzzles and the long trying to grind and get levels and stuff like that. That's just not my play style. So it took a little bit, but we got through them.
Mm-hmm.
Tarzan says, yeah. Mario RPG is on his bucket list of games he needs to play.
Is Mario RPG on SNES Online?
I don't think it's on SNES Online, but it is on the SNES Classic.
Right,
or the Mini. Because that's how I played it. I don't think it is. I'm not sure.
It's a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good game. Sorry, going back to what you were saying.
Go ahead.
What did you say?
Right
before we talked about Mario RPG on. Oh, Chrono Trigger.
Yes.
Yeah, I have friends who say like Chrono Trigger is the best game ever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm not sure if I'll ever play it because I just don't play RPGs.
It has some good music and the idea of it is really good. And the art is good. The art is done by one of the same guys who did Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
So it's pretty on the SNES and it's a lot. And as I said, if it wasn't for my chat, I probably wouldn't have finished it myself just because that's how I play. But, I enjoyed it when I did get to play it. Pavlin doesn't have a response yet, so I'm not 100% sure whether you would be called a normie or not.
Let's just say I'm a normie.
Okay.
I'm an RPG normie.
Same.
That's fine. I have no shame in admitting it.
Yeah, that's all good. Okay, let me go back to my outline. I went back.
What else are we going to talk about, Bundy?
Well, that was the one. That was the big. Well, obviously, we've talked about you being in the Diddy Kong Racing community. We've talked about your creators. We talked about your bands, and now we just kind of talk a little bit about some of the gaming news. The Among Us update was one that I was talking about. The other is Twitch came on to Switch a couple days ago. I think yesterday, actually.
Right.
I don't know about you. You have a Switch, right?
I do.
So weird.
I have multiple Switches in the crib.
Okay, so I'm not sure.
Cody's buying them.
Well, you probably have like a light, and you probably have the regular, and you probably have the OLED. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But
we got two regular ones, and then Cody just got the OLED.
Ooh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded the Twitch app yesterday. It is a video player. It's literally just a video player.
It's just a video player.
So in order to use the chat or to do anything else, you have to use your phone. You click like the join the conversation instead of like plugging in a USB keyboard or something like that. You have to actually like scan a QR code to join the chat, and your chat is on here, which I get it, but it's still a little odd to me.
Don't get me wrong. It's cool that you can watch Twitch on your Switch.
Also at times.
But I'm not going to be watching Twitch on the Switch.
Right. I think
I've got too many options for that. I'm more likely to watch Twitch on my phone.
Right. No.
Than I am to watch it on Switch.
Same. It was interesting because, well, just I just want to keep saying Twitch on Switch because it's fun to say. And I feel like they should have done this a couple years ago for that reason.
So is it just to watch Twitch? Like you can't like stream to Twitch?
Correct.
Like using it?
So like the Xbox and the PlayStation versions of it, they do allow you to stream on Twitch through their chat. But on the Switch, it is just a video player.
Hmm.
Which,
I mean, it makes sense because it's probably not strong enough to handle gameplay and streaming at the same time.
That's what I'm thinking. Hoping if they ever come out with like a Switch Pro or something like that, that they could do something for that. Excuse me.
Yeah. I do kind of wish. Well, I should be careful. I've said it would be really cool if Nintendo put out like a real workhorse, like the PS5 or the most recent Xbox, something that competes kind of like on that kind of technical level. But then I'm like, do I even really care? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know if I. I don't know. Like, we have to think to ourselves, like, as the technology has gotten better, and like the visuals and like all that stuff has gotten better. The performance has gotten better. Like, does that mean that we've gotten better games? It's interesting to think about. Why do I keep playing old Nintendo games?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that. And going back to, well, talking about the Twitch in general. So this week, I'm trying to document a little bit better and be active, a little bit more consistent about my streams, trying to get back into it. So I started this thing on Mondays where I'm doing a, what is it called? Mystery Game Night, where I take a bunch of those games that I've never played, speaking of like that, put them into a roulette, and then pick a game and just play it. So this this Monday, I played a game. It's called Shadowgate. It's a point-and-click adventure game. It was interesting. originally, it was apparently for the NES, and they had like a update for it. Not like I've enjoyed point-and-click adventure games like King's Quest and stuff like that. I just had the hardest time getting into it.
What's like the most famous like point-and-click? Is it called Myst?
Myst, yes.
Yeah, I think Cody said he like played that like way back in the day.
Gotcha.
And yeah, I just remember that being like one of those like really important kind of like groundbreaking games.
Mm-hmm. I remember it was really popular on Max, actually, I think, when it first came out. But the other stream that I did on Tuesday, Mario Party Superstars. Now, I have been obsessed.
I have it.
You have it now?
I have it now.
Okay. So we have to at play some point, we need to play. I have... The game has been out a week, maybe 2 weeks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I have max leveled already. So there are 99 levels. It is the max. Okay, it looks like Agis has picked it up as well. So now we've got three people.
Yes! Let's go. There we go. That's just the three of us there is already a pretty sick crew.
It is. And then I could probably find a fourth person. I've got a lot of people who are interested in it. And I'm hoping to make this a weekly thing, to do a community game, a random game, and then a podcast. We'll see how it works out, because it's a very, very, very different things. Tarzan feels like he should pick it up, too. That would be fun. But the thing that's amazing to me is, like, Mario Party Superstars, the idea behind it is you're taking all of these old games. This was the point I was originally trying to make, is that you're taking all of these best of the old games and bringing them to the new.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have all of these new games, and yet I am focusing on this one game that is about the old games. So what does that say about gaming?
As that, it is right now. That all we do is just reissue and revamp old games because they're amazing. And they've never been able to, like, improve upon that formula. I guess.
Mm-hmm. And Tarzan says it seems like it's much better than Super Mario Party is gameplay-wise, which I would agree with. For one,
yeah,
you don't have to use the Joy-Con. You can use a Pro Controller. That's a big thing. And then for two, a lot of the mini-games are old. And nostalgia is mighty powerful, Edges says, which is 100% true. You get... Like, the tug-of-war minigame in Mario Party 1, the one that caused the controversy because they gave a lot of people blisters, myself included.
Yep, same here.
It's still in the game, and it's probably one of my top games in that game. So, I just think it is interesting looking at some of the games that I have and how I keep going back to, like, the old games, or like the Super Nintendo NES Online and the N64 Online. I play a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
now that I think about it, it's interesting that they never put Mario Party on. Well, wait, no, Mario Party 2 was on Wii VC.
2 and 3, I believe, were.
But yeah, I'm wondering if like they're going to, if they have any plans to bring Mario Party 1, 2, and 3 to Switch Online, even though they just put out this re-release.
I think they would. Just in the fact that right before they released Super Mario 3D All-Stars, the original Super Mario All-Stars was put on SNES Online. So Oh, just Mario Party 2 was on Wii and Wii U VC.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Also, Edges is saying he has students who will reminisce about classic Black Ops. And I'm feeling really old right now. I'm going to try not to think about it too hard.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it either.
But no, this has been a great time. We have been talking for about an hour.
I know. When you said 30 minutes, I was like, there's no way.
Well, I wasn't sure. Like, if you listen to just me and my own podcast,
I mean,
it's
like I'm
15
boring.
Minutes.
I'm boring, but I'm not that boring.
You're not boring. I've enjoyed this whole stream. I don't know what you're talking about. But no, we've talked about all the questions that I've wanted to ask. We've kind of talked about most of the gaming news. Also, Discord just came out with events, which I'm going to start putting those in my Discord. If you're not in my Discord, the links will be available. If you're in chat, you can use !Discord to get into the Discord if you're not in there already. So like this podcast today, I put that as the kind of test one to see what it's on there, and I'll tell you where that is. I think that's going to be helpful for community days when we do like an Among Us game or trying to get a Mario Party group together, finding out who is available or interested in that time. And the great thing about it, I'm pretty sure the event changes depending on what time zone you're in, so you'll know when it is supposed to be. So I'm going to try that out. We'll see how it goes, do that kind of stuff. Is there anything that you want to say or promote? Now that we'll kind of wrap up and just kind of, maybe we'll chill for a little bit, but we'll wrap the podcast part of it up.
Sure. I stream on Twitch occasionally when I have the time, and I typically play Diddy Kong Racing. And I guess at some point I will have to start streaming more often to practice for the upcoming Games Done Quick event that we talked about.
Yeah, do you have a date for the Games Done Quick event? I don't know if I
know
that yet.
Yeah, so the event is running from the 9th till the 16th.
Of
if you want to see
month?
Of January, I'm sorry. Okay. If you want to see DKR specifically, that's going to be on Wednesday night of that week, and it's going to be at 10 p.m. Eastern time, I believe.
Okay, so 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wednesday of GDQ, you'll see Trident Tail, Obio, and Sweener Dog doing a three-way all trophy races race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitch, Trident Tail. What else I got going on? Pretty much if you're interested in anything I've ever done, ever, you can go to tridenttail.ca, and that's where you can find, you know, my speedrunning stuff, my music stuff, my music journal, and whatever other project I'm probably working on. It's all over there. So that's probably the easiest way to keep caught up with what I'm doing.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Trident, for joining me and helping me get back into this podcasting thing. I'm hoping to make this a weekly thing with different people, with different topics, stuff like that. It's been great to talk Diddy Kong Racing with you. And if you guys missed it, the VOD will be available. Also, I will be posting this on my podcast, which if you use !podcast in the chat, you can get the link to that, which I will be uploading there probably shortly, depending. I am going to go ahead and stop the or close the stream out. But thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll hopefully see you next time.